Sports Day for Kia.
Introducing the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Yeah, very good evening. It's a beautiful day here in Adelaide. What, 27 degrees, a bit better than the heat we've had in recent days. KGM Worlds, this is Sports Day SA. If you just joined us, for barbecues galore, you can shop online and in-store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge, now you're cooking. So welcome, the great man, Kenneth George Cunningham. Hi, Cage.
Hello, Wilds. What about the Strikers last night? How good were they?
They played well. Funny sort of wicket. Batsmen were getting in, but it seemed to be really hard to make runs. So 160 in the end was a good score.
Good score.
But Brisbane, I reckon at times Brisbane are the worst team in the comp, led by Chris Lynn. Again, you see the shot he played?
Oh, terrible. Absolutely shocker.
Seriously?
Yeah, shocker.
Then the run out. Then
you know what? I think what's got on Chris Lynn's mind is the fact that he started with a huge fanfare.
Oh, that's 5 years ago, though.
I know, but I reckon that's still his attitude, and he's got to get back now to sort of the reality.
Do you find him annoying?
I do.
Struts out there, chest out, looks at everyone, then gets out in the first over.
You're in a fiery mood today.
Oh, I think you need to perform, and a man that did perform was Rashid Khan.
Well, I got to say to you, Wills, quite honestly, that's some of the best spin bowling, controlled spin bowling of leg breaks that I've seen since Shane Warne. Those guys last night with the bat in the hand had no bloody idea which way he was going. But it was fantastic to watch. The control, the spin.
Unbelievable control.
The variety. And he had him bamboozled.
Went 11 off his first over, didn't he? Then
he
couldn't score another run.
Couldn't score another run.
Would you play him if as a right-handed batsman as a fast off-break? Because I think 4 out of his 6 balls are the wrong ones.
He bought a beautiful wrong.
And then he needs to get the leggy to go a little bit, doesn't he? At that pace, and you
now sadly he's
gone.
He's gone. That's unfortunate because the older strikers are hovering.
Yeah, I thought a few good signs, and once again Thomas Kelly played
he's very
well.
He's been the find of the year.
Unbelievable.
No question. You know what's good about him? He's busy. He's doing things. He wants to get
enthusiastic.
On with it. That's exactly. I love it. Yeah. It's infectious. It comes through the screen.
Yep. Very good.
Love it. No. You see him in the field. He chases at 100
slides,
miles,
dives,
and heaves it in.
It's like the Energizer Bunny.
He's got this hair out the back of the cap.
No, he's good. Mullet. He's had a really good series. So well done to Thomas
good
Kelly.
Last night. Good win.
A test match tomorrow, pink ball night, day nighter in Tasmania.
Yeah, interesting to see how how that plays the pink ball in the Tasmania's conditions.
So you're only expecting one change with Australia or
I
Harris
think so.
Out,
Harris
head
out,
in?
Harris out, head in, Khawaja to open the batting and I feel a bit sorry for Harris, a little bit sorry. He got 70 in the Melbourne Test match, but what can you do when the bloke comes in and makes a century in each of the innings?
Just want to play a grab from David Warner.
Righto.
I think he's talking about Usman Khawaja, childhood dream. They grew up as seven-year-olds together.
So you get that? I didn't know that.
But I was just thinking, though, how would Marcus Harris feel? Like, it's my dream to bat with
Uzzy. That's why I said I feel sorry for him.
I want to come back on the other side too and talk about Langer and the players having too much to say. Okay, here's David Warner.
I'm just so proud of him and the way that he's, you know, held his head high and gone back and played for Queensland, captain Queensland, captain Thunder, scored runs, got a family now, you know, with his wife Rachel, one on the way. You know, it's just great to be a part, our friendship to be a part again on the same in the same team, and you know, to maybe hopefully go out there and open the batting will be another childhood dream. We've batted together plenty of times. We put a good partnership on in Perth against New Zealand. And we just know our parents are really, really proud of us. And that's what makes us smile is knowing that our parents are living the same dream that we are and they're happy.
Well, hang on. Has the decision been made on...
Well, it sounds like it has. If he's saying it's my dream to bat with my old mate Aussie...
Well, how would Harris feel?
What's I'm saying? Like, wouldn't you keep that quiet or say it after you've batted with him, saying, how good was that?
Well, imagine how Harris...
That's a done deal, isn't it?
Well, obviously it is.
You don't go and say, and we've been...
Well, obviously the players have been told what the side is, and how would Harris be feeling if he was listening to that?
Just on David Warner too, I want to play this grab about Justin Langer. Then I want to ask you a couple of questions about, do the players have too much say?
Yeah, look, I really like Justin. Obviously, I've had good conversations with him, you know, through coming back. You know, he's done no wrong by me. He's always had those honest conversations with me, and you know, he's obviously got four daughters as well, so we've got a bit in common. I've got three, and yeah, no, he's doing well. He took a lot of the hard feedback. He took it on the chin. You know, he spoke openly about it, and you know, he's worked really hard on trying to, I wouldn't say win players back, but I just think with what was spoken about. He's took that on board and he's done well.
You know, this is one of the most disgraceful things. If Langer gets the boot,
which we think he will,
because it's coming out of England, the Aussie dressing room. I'll read it to you. British reports claim there is a push inside the Australian dressing room for former England coach Bayliss to take the reins of the test team. If he gets the flick.
Well, no one's endorsed him. Even that, to me, wasn't a full endorsement.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no, he's tried hard. Yes, maybe.
Why doesn't someone come out and say, no, look, Justin Langer has just won the T20 World Cup for the first time. We've just beaten England in the Ashes, which is the pinnacle of Test cricket. He should be reappointed.
How would Langer feel, knowing that he's on the plank?
He'd be angry. He'd be angry.
We haven't heard from him about his... no one's endorsed him. Nick Hockley, Pat Cummins...
No one.
Every player, no, Langer's going all right, but we'll wait and see. What are they waiting and seeing for? They're going to win 4-0. Just by the way, Khawaja has been named opener.
Has he?
So that is out there, yeah. It's out Khawaja, there. Brendan Saying has been named. So Marcus Harris is out.
Is out. Gee,
do players have too much say?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. In the Langer situation, they are having far too much.
You got the million-dollar men out there and... I think at times they do think they're a little bit above the rest. Now, I don't know whether we need three coaches. Trevor Bayliss has got a pretty good record.
He has.
McDonald. But Langer, if Langer was too harsh or too nasty early...
He's turned it around.
Surely he's had a bit of redemption by what he's got. KG, what more could he have done?
No more. Since that all unfolded, he's gone into the T20 World Cup, won it for the first time, now the Ashes Series, and we're 3-0 up. So what more could he have done?
He's gone. He's gone. And, and you know, we all know when Crash Craddock and the cricket reporters, it gets leaked.
Of course it does.
How often is that? So-and-so's on the outer.
It gets leaked.
Everything gets leaked in cricket.
So, well, there you go.
Well, what can England serve up to, KG? I want to play Joe Root too. I thought England's attitude was far better in the last. They didn't win, but they saved the test.
But that's what we wanted to see, a contest. Bat against ball. English versus Australia.
Here's Joe Root. England to play with a winning attitude.
To come back and get something from that game. Showed a great amount of character and something definitely for us to build on moving forward, you know, whether it be this game or beyond. So, you know, there was an element of relief as well, managing just to get through those last few overs in particular. But the desire, the fight, the pride that everyone showed out there on that last day in particular is something that we have to harness and we have to play with more frequently throughout 5 days, not just on the last day when everything's sort of on the line trying to get something from the game, but from ball one as well. And we've proven to ourselves that we can do that now. Can we take that a step further? Can we make sure that, you know, we do that in a winning state rather than just trying to save a test match? And
Cage, I'm hearing up to five changes for England.
Well, they could make five. Five?
Well, we know Butler's out.
Butler's out.
I think Ahmed would be certainly dropped. I mean, he's just he can't buy a run.
Well, who else is going to go?
Well, there's two. I think they may make a fast bowling change. If Stokes can't bowl, you'd have to think Wokes or someone has to come in as a bowler. As the fourth bowler?
Well, Stokes can't bowl.
No, okay, so you're going to have to bring a bowler. I'm not sure they'll play Anderson and Broad together again.
You got it.
Jimmy Anderson, look, he's bowled his heart out.
He has.
But, that's the reports, four or five changes. Who else could go? Dave Milan hasn't been great since the first two.
The first two he was okay.
I suppose Jack Leach will hold his spot because he's... No one else.
Well, had they had another spinner, they would have played him before now.
You got to play Mark Wood if he's fit.
Oh, Mark Wood's got to play. He's been fantastic.
Let's hear from Joe Root on the fitness of Ben Stokes and Bairstow.
I think they need to make sure they feel like they're physically in a place where they can get through 5 days of hard cricket, whatever Australia throw at them. They're in a position where they can go out and play and. Firstly get through the game, but also put in most importantly put in a performance as they managed to last week as well. It's all right being fit to play, but you've got to be fit to perform, and I think that's what we've got to work out in the next 2 days. You certainly can pick Ben just as a batter, absolutely. And similarly with Johnny as well, he's been playing as a batter anyway. So, as I say, we've got to just see where they're at, see what their bodies can handle, and then assess from there.
So would they take two players at 80%?
Well, Stokes has got to play, and Bairstow's got to play.
On the back of his performance.
Of course, they've both got to play. Who's going to replace them, for goodness? There's no one in the team.
There's not a lot in the wings.
There's not. There's nothing. All you want to say, we'll make five changes, but you've got somebody that's worth his place in the side.
It's a strange world. I'm just wondering when the last time someone got sacked, when you've perhaps produced your best results.
Well, there you go.
Maybe there are some prima donnas out there.
Well, there you go. But I tell you what, it's a tough call, Wills. Absolute tough call.
What's the latest on Djokovic?
Well, I was watching the TV this morning, and they interviewed Martina Navratilova, who's very well sort of measured in cases like that. And to sum it up, she virtually said, going through all the drama, there's errors on both sides. Which I agree with.
Handled appalling from Djokovic's camp and Australia.
I agree, but border control came down too hard on Djokovic. And Djokovic, as I said, and I'll repeat myself, has been a prima donna. She said Djokovic, in the better interest of the game of tennis, should not play with all this drama at the Australian Open. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. What's the immigration minister doing? He can say yes or no. Is he going to make a call, or is he going to sit on his hands and do nothing?
I don't know. And I also wonder the effect. What toll will this take on Novak if he does play? He's been front page all around the world. Well, the pressure on him has been enormous too.
Well, you imagine the reaction from the crowd when Djokovic plays.
See, if I went there, I wouldn't boo him. If I went to the tennis, I'd go to watch him play. But I would think this would be draining.
What?
Terribly draining for him.
Oh, no doubt. Of course.
So maybe it's best he doesn't play.
That's what Navratilova said this morning.
And Nadal said the same, you know, could have been easier, handled better, get yourself vaccinated, come over and play. And
exactly.
It's ducks and drakes, okay.
But there's a lot of people out there don't want him to play, I can tell you.
Where does Craig Tiley sit in this too? Like,
well, that's,
has the whole truth come out?
Well, no. There are too many porkies that have been told by too many people.
See, he desperately wanted Novak here. Yes, you can understand if you're the tournament director, you want the best players.
Want the best, but he came out and said, if you're not vaccinated, you don't get a berth.
And yet, he did come out here with an exemption of some whatever it is.
Well, then, was the exemption valid? Oh, who knows? It's just a hell of a mess.
Let's go to Adam. Wants to talk on the exact issue. Hi, Adam.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Look, I haven't changed my view on Novak. There should have been a complete clarity of this whole thing right from the start with every player, every tennis player, no matter who they are. If you're not vaccinated, you can't enter the tournament, you cannot play, and that should have been the line that they should have drawn, Tennis Australia and state government, Victorian government and the federal government shouldn't get down to visa and all these court proceedings and all that appealing. There should have been one rule and one rule only. If you're not vaccinated, you cannot play in the Australian Open. Now that we've got this farcical situation, now I'm hearing that if he doesn't play, there'll be a number of overseas tennis players threatening not to come back and play in the Australian Open again.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me, Adam, but it was said initially by Tennis Australia that if you don't get vaccinated, you can't play. But they also added to say, unless you have an exemption, a medical exemption, signed by doctors and so forth, for a medical condition, if the exemption is strong enough, you can play. So they left the door ajar. And now there's confusion as to whether his form is valid.
Yep.
It's just a damn mess.
It certainly makes it easier, no jab, no play.
Yeah, but this is not the first time he's carried on like this.
No, but they're doing the AFL. I mean, all the others, you have to be vaccinated.
Exactly. Well, you probably won't be able to go anywhere.
I think the exemption, Novak is one of the fittest athletes going around the world.
Correct.
So I can't think of any reason why you give him an exemption, if you know what I mean. He, He hasn't had the jab?
Well, now they're saying the exemption.
But what what grounds medically could he have?
I don't know. I don't know what comes under the heading of
that. It's been really handled poorly, I think.
Absolutely abysmal. Now we find ourselves in a mess.
And I'd be staggered if he plays and he wins, given the... It must be draining.
Can I ask another question? Why has one man in our government got the power to say yes or no? The immigration manager, immigration member...
Well, someone has to be able to, whether you deport someone or you don't. I mean, he's got to go to the head honcho. I don't know who it is.
Well, it's Alex Hawke.
Well, surely they've got all the information now.
How much more detail does
exactly.
he want?
Exactly. But, and when someone else filled out a form incorrectly, what does that smack of?
See, Djokovic, why would you let someone else fill out a form that is critical? You do it yourself.
Well, you'd be making sure that what was put on was correct.
Correct. You'd go over with a fine tooth comb.
And but as it turned out, he had been somewhere else.
Well, that's it.
I don't know, Cage.
I don't know either, Wills.
It is a
only
mess.
Only went to grade 7 Ascot Park.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No high school?
No. Oh, 6 months, goody tech.
And then out.
Out. Goodbye.
Wow.
On your bike. See
you're
you
not that bright. Well, you're telling me you're not that bright.
That's the second time you've been sarcastic to me tonight.
This is our show. Thanks to Lumo SA, Aussie-owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. We've got Ian Hatchard on tonight, KG. The Crows are brilliant. And we're hearing a couple of games have been... One's been cancelled. The Bulldogs are going to be playing in.
Brisbane Western Bulldogs has been cancelled. They're going to try and fit it in at another stage. And Carlton will now play Geelong. And, of course, the Crows will play...
North Melbourne.
North Melbourne on Sunday at Millwood Oval.
We're going to take a break. Toddy Gray on the other side.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, KG and Wills, let's try and find a winner. Thanks to Weeks, save a massive $45,000 on next-gen homes. Visit weeks.com.au. Go straight to Toddy Gray. Thanks to GRSA. Great night out of the grounds.
He got a winner last week. You should say congratulations, Toddy.
Don't sound so surprised. You've
been bagging him for weeks now.
I've just been trying to promote
and
him, pump his tyres.
Now he tips the winner. And you don't say thanks very much, Todd.
Hello, Toddy. How are you?
I'm good, boys. No thanks needed. The slate's still pretty dirty, pal. We left it last year, but we're starting to clean it.
No, Todd, I'll say thank you, mate. I won some money. Thank you very much.
You beauty. No, any time. Let's hope we've got to go back-to-back, though.
Exactly right.
Okay, the first five races tonight are heats of the John Gray Memorial tonight.
Yeah,
so
fantastic.
That's special races.
It is, yeah. So I think I'll be a little bit emotional. Heads up there for next week. Five heats. It's the 27th running of my grandfather's memorial race. A great man, and honestly, I couldn't think of a better way to honour him. And I'm going to try to honour him a little bit tonight by finding one at massive odds in one of the heats, lads.
Ooh.
Now, I saw that. Let's go through. That's a value bet. I did see on my screen it's about $35 for the win.
You can, yeah. You can. I can't see how you can get less than 30-1 if you try, lads. So it's a bit ambitious, but if I'm going to do it, tonight's the night. And it is race 3, number 8, Dakota Roxy. Now, I'm more confident on her being place heavy. I'd only put your coins on for the win, your notes on for the place. There's a little bit of unknown here with the two favourites. I think the 6, which is your second favourite, might struggle at the distance. And the one dog's first up in South Australia, and first up at this track can sometimes be a little bit tricky. So I think they can both get beat, and I reckon this is the absolute bookie's hope. And as a former bookie, this is the one John will keep a little bit short for himself.
Well, Toddy, I've got a granddaughter named Dakota, so I'm gonna have some money on that. What's it called? Well, Dakota Roxy.
Dakota Roxy. Yeah, she's beautifully drawn. She box 8's a little bit sticky over to 530 at Angle Park, but she should be ideally drawn here. She's a bit temperamental as well, so I don't know if she might be like your granddaughter in that way. She's a bit hot and cold.
Yeah, exactly like Dakota, my granddaughter. No doubt about that.
But if this happens to be, look, I'm happy to take the gamble. I think she should be about a 10 or 12 to 1 pop, lads. And if she happens, if the right Roxy rocks up tonight, it can beat these two favourites. Ooh. It really can. She is a lot better than her form shows when she wants to be. And these are the kind of odds where you just roll the dice and hope that she's on song tonight.
Two or three place dividends.
We've got three divvies here. Oh,
okay.
Which is
all right. And your best bet, Toddy?
Our best bet, lads, is race 10, number 7, Psychotic Babe. Now, with no disrespect, this is probably one of the weaker races on the card, but she really deserves a win, boys. She's around about $3 at the moment. She's been showing good pace. She's been leading and running nice little races. in a much better competition than what she's up against tonight. She deserves to win a Thursday night race. I can't see how she will not lead. I think she's an absolute mole to lead here and lead by a long way. And this is probably, there's no real strong dogs in this race. So if she leads, I'd be really disappointed if she got run down tonight, if she got a soft lead. I think she does. I think at $3, I would take the fix because I think she'll shorten by at least 50 cents on the betting. This is her race tonight. There's a race out there for every dog, and tonight is Psychotic Babe.
What a great name, Psychotic Babe.
Absolutely, and Dakota Roxy. I'm going to have a bet on that.
Well, a special night for you too, Toddy. As we said, the first five races, heats of the John Gray Memorial Night. You have a great night. Let's hope we get a winner.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, boys. See you next week.
Good on you, Toddy.
Toddy Gray,
He was on the money last week, so big odds, Dakota Roxy.
Yeah, what if that gets up? Well, it's a bit of an omen, isn't it?
Well, it is. My granddaughter.
Dakota.
I was with her this afternoon, too.
$31, Gage. I just saw you. You always started to light up a little bit.
Well, they did.
Put a dollar each way.
I can't remember the last time I backed a 30-1 winner.
No, he picked a 60-1 once.
You're joking.
No, 60-1 winner once. You did, Toddy.
Backing each way.
He doesn't generally go the odds on favourites. He likes to try and find a bit of value. Hey, just quickly, the test match tomorrow.
Day night.
We haven't seen in Tassie.
2 o'clock.
So you win the toss and bat?
Well, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't know. I think the weather's been okay down in Tassie. So if you win the toss of the coin, put the pads on.
The new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. Find out more at kia.com/. Just in about 30 seconds, too. Tim Payne, I feel for him.
Back I do,
in
his, too.
He's not going to the test?
Well, no, he's gone out of Tasmania.
Oh, I mean, it's just, as I say, a lot of people are saying, now look at his glove work. People bagged him, but they said he was the best keeper.
Would have been a fairy tale dream come true for him.
Isn't it sad how your life can change so quickly?
Well, there you go, Wilds.
His home state would have expected to be captain.
Correct.
And, he's not. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we'll speak with Anne Hatchard. And also Chris Nelson will go up there and find a winner at the Magic Millions. Back with more shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new, redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
David Wildy and KG, all thanks to Weeks Homes. You can save $45,000 on your next home with Weeks. And Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. Think safety this January and get the 5-minute tyre safety check at your local tyre power. KG, AFLW, the Crows kicked off in fine style.
What did I say to you earlier in the week?
Smash Brisbane.
I saw them, who were last year's reigning premiers, but by the way.
And you've got them as premier this year.
No doubt. When you
haven't gone a little bit early.
Well, I probably have, but I was most impressed with their start.
Well, let's welcome one of their star players too. She played very, very well. Anne Hatchard. And KG's gone out on a limb, reckons you're over the line already after one round.
Look, it would be cool if we could say that so far, but awesome to head into round one and get that big win.
The pre-season, Anne, was disjointed for everybody. I mean, it's just in general life, but gee, hit the ground running. That was a magnificent performance, almost a perfect performance against Brisbane.
Yeah, pre-season has been a bit funny this year, but we had a huge pre-season. We put in a lot of work, it just showed with how we performed in round one.
Gee, and you and Ebony Marinoff have a wonderful understanding there. Between the two of you, you got 50 possessions. Now, that's an enormous plus for the side, so there must be a wonderful understanding.
Yeah, so we just work so well together in the midfield. You know, we've been together now for quite a few years. We've both been there since season one. We're just learning how each other play, and hopefully we can just build on that.
When you look at your squad, you have the comings and goings of players. How do you feel you're placed this year to last year?
Yeah, so we've added a few young guns in this year, so they're pretty exciting. They'll probably get some opportunity with all the COVID going around. There'll probably be a few players missing some games with when we get COVID and whatnot. So, we've got a deep squad this year, and I'm really excited to see some of those girls play.
It's going to be a lot of unknown, isn't it? You've played teams, I mean, they could be missing 6-8 players, teams that are normally very good, or perhaps some other sides with a full squad. So you really don't know. It's a bit of an unknown.
Yeah, very unknown, and it's a little bit scary, but you just got to go with what you've got. And, hopefully we can just get enough wins to make it into the finals.
And the other pleasing part, you've got some firepower up forward, young Ash Woodland, like chipping in with four goals, and there are options up forward for you. So, you know, the forward setup looks very capable of creating a big score.
Yeah, we've got some dangerous forwards up there. So I played at North Adelaide Roosters with Ash Woodland, so I knew exactly how dangerous she is, and, you know, she's found her confidence this year, and she's firing and ready to go, so hopefully she can keep bringing that every week.
Now, Anne, we need the players or the girls on the ground here. Yeah. What are you doing during the week? You're trying to keep away from just about everyone. I mean, COVID's just around the corner. The numbers are unbelievable, particularly in the eastern states. Are you just trying to stay low-key?
Yeah, I've been staying at home a lot. Just, you know, my outings is usually just going for a walk. So, yeah, working from home a bit, just, yeah, chilling at home. With my partner, who's also at home, so at least she's keeping me entertained.
What do you make of the knees? Every time it comes up, sore, three really nasty injuries, and to some of the best players in the comp, and it's sad. I don't know what the answer is, but no doubt they're looking into it. Have you got any opinions on why so many knees are being done with the girls' footy?
Yeah, look, I'm not exactly sure. You know, we do a lot of work with injury prevention and stuff with our staff, so they're doing everything they can to minimise the risk, but sometimes there's, just unfortunate injuries in the footy.
Do you do a lot of leg weights that are trying to build up around the knee area, you know, the quads and the calves and all that, try and make it even stronger?
Yeah, so we do minimum two leg sessions a week, so we do plenty of strength with our legs, so yeah, we do everything we can to try and minimise any injuries, really, but with the ACLs, we do a lot of injury prevention around that.
And I said to Wills earlier in the week, after watching the game last weekend, and I know we're only one game into the season, but I reckon the standard has lifted again this year. I think the kicking is better, and the general standard, I think, has gone up another notch. Would you agree?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. You know, with girls are able to play from such a young age and have the whole pathway through. Now the girls getting drafted, they can already kick both feet. So, you know, everyone already in the comp has to step it up with this, with these girls coming through. So each year I think it's just going to ramp up, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I think the big difference too, Anne, is the ball movement from back to forward. It's quick. Yeah. You know, you can utilise players going from the half back to centre to half forward really quickly. That's what I've really noticed with the girls, the skill level.
Yeah, for sure. And not only that, I think each year, each team wants to get fitter and fitter. So when the skill and the fitness increases, it's only going to make the game better, which is really exciting.
It's tough for all companies. You must be looking for the day where you just go and train and play, get home, have a drink, something to eat, and not worry about all the outside noise. It's been a very strange time.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So hopefully that day will come.
Now, Anne, at home this Sunday against North Melbourne, they beat Geelong at the weekend. So, do you know much about North Melbourne at all?
So not a bit. They're pretty good clearing the ball. So they get first possession quite often. So we're going to have to be tough in the contest from that first bowl up. So hopefully we can get on top of them.
Courtney Cramie and two other girls you got as coaches. I think you've also got Maddie Clark. Is Peter Caven still there as well?
Yeah, Cramie's still there.
So what are the new girls brought to the table?
Yeah, so especially having CJ in there in the midfield coaching with us, it's been awesome. You know, she's helped me all through my footy when she was a player, and now having her as a coach, it's her insight in on the game is just awesome. So I've really learnt a lot off CJ, and yeah, having Kavo and all those other past players, it's just awesome. They've got so much knowledge, and I've just learned so much off them.
Hey, Anne, can I ask you about the Doc, Matt Clark? He seems to be a laid-back critter.
Very composed.
Very composed, very measured and so forth. What's he? Is he like that, composed, measured and all that?
Has he ever got angry?
That's it. Has he ever got angry?
I have actually never seen him angry. He is so cool, kind of collected, but I have heard he can get a bit angry in the coach's box. So I would like to see that one day.
What do you know about, as KG said, North Melbourne? Do you know much about them? You seen any pre-season form, or did you see their first game?
So I didn't actually see, I didn't watch the first game, but we've done a bit of offer analysis. So we watched a few clips of kind of what they do, but we just want to go out and play our footy and hopefully we can get on top of them doing that.
Exactly. And this is not a criticism, but another plus for our win was the fact that Erin Phillips, by her standards, wasn't as effective as she normally is. So that's another plus because there's improvement there.
Oh, Erin's just an absolute freak. So when she's at the best, she's just unstoppable. So, yeah, it's exciting to see what else she can bring this year. Yeah,
just exactly. In closing, Anne, we all know the bigger names in the team, but if you had to pick one or two of the junior players or players that haven't played a lot of games, who would they be? Who you reckon start in pre-season and who you're looking for big things this year?
I think Rochelle Martin. She is an absolute little bulldog. Smallest player on the team, but she just finds the footy. She's so tough, and I reckon she's going to have a ripper season.
Well done. Well, Anne, well done. As KG said, round one, fantastic game yourself and for the team, and let's hope you can We'll kick the bums of North Melbourne this week at Nord Oval.
Good on you, Anne. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much. No worries. Thanks for having me.
Anne Hatchard, one of the Adelaide's finest players. Hasn't the skill level improved, though?
I really enjoy it. I have previously, but I've noticed, I've seen a couple of games, but the skill level's definitely lifted.
I think I've noticed, KG, some of the great defensive marks. Yep. The ball goes in the forward line and the big defender now just marks it.
Yeah.
It's not going to ground, which... No, I've noticed a massive improvement. And it will, as the girls are playing from 7, 8 years old, so by the time they get to the...
Correct.
You know, through the grades, it'll be just like the AFL system.
I'll tell you what, Wilkes, and there's still plenty of improvement. Chelsea Randall, Erin Phillips. So
I meant to ask about Ange Foley. Did the knee in the final last year, how she's coming along, but did it had a reconstruction as well.
Yeah,
I guess there. Anne Hatchard, you can play Keno from only $1 a game with a draw every few moments. Always time for spotter Keno. Play today, gamble responsibly. KG and Wilds, this is Sports Day SA.
Sports Day for Kia.
KG and
Wilds, Sports Day SA. The all-new redesigned Kia Racing Sportage Queensland Media update.
The CAB has Queensland been unleashed. Summer Racing Carnival has arrived.
It's on for younger and older. I've been glued to the television. Some of the prices they pay for the horses is unbelievable.
I suppose it's like anything. It's luck of the draw if you're bidding on a house or bidding on a horse. If two people want it or three people want it,
correct,
the price goes up and up and up. Well, let's go to Chris Nelson. He'd know all about that. He's right there where the action is. And it's a bit like that, isn't it, Chris? If you want something, you might have to pay a bit more.
Yeah, you're not wrong, David. Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon, KG. And
Chris.
Yes, plenty of money changing hands. We just saw one go this afternoon for $1.9 million. Bought by Coolmore Stud. So a half-brother to Dubious, who you might remember. Dubious was very, very smart. So, yeah, plenty of money there. And a lot of people did say that would be the chart topper. So we've still got a couple of days left of decent sales, being tomorrow and Saturday night. So you never, never know, but they might be right at $1.9 million.
Chris, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, what's the most expensive horse at the Magic Millions ever?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and no, I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but I can tell you what the most expensive broodmare was sold there in the middle of the year, and that was Sunlight at $4.2 million about 18 months ago. I was there then, and that was like the atmosphere was like, you hear a pin drop. That was fantastic. But no, I can't answer that question, sorry.
And how many horses up for grabs? I mean, it's exciting time, isn't it?
Is it 1,230?
Yep, you're spot on, KG. 1,200 plus horses. I think there's a pool of 5,000 originally, and they cull that to just over 1,200 horses, and they're all in beautiful shape, perfect condition. And, yeah, it's probably maybe Sunday and Monday are the times that... you and I and David need to get out there and buy one. The prices are a lot cheaper then.
Exactly. You know, it's amazing. Sitting back watching, and because I love horse racing, I really do love it, just to look at those horses in peak condition.
Beautiful.
They are magnificent, Chris.
Yeah, they're magnificent animals. And when you see them up close, as I'm sure you would have, they're just adorable animals. And they've just got a great way about them. I love getting around the horses at the stables. Often go down to the stables, have a wander around and, yeah, they're beautifully looked after down there. They enjoy themselves and all the staff and everyone love them just as much as we do, KG.
I love them. And do you own any horses, Chris? Race any horses?
I have a small share. I've just got into it, a small share in a Spieth filly trained by Kelly Sweeter, but unfortunately she's gone shin sore twice.
They all do that.
So she's Yeah, so she's back in the paddock and we haven't had a start yet, so I'm getting a bit impatient.
But I tell you what, Chris, when you do own one and you go to the track and see it run, it's an exciting adventure. I am telling you, it's great.
Well, that's what I wanted to be get involved for. It's just the social side and the excitement. It's not about making money.
No.
It's not a business. It's just it's a hobby and the social side. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I was hoping it would be earlier this year or late last year, but I think we're a few months off yet.
I wonder how many will find their way into the Chris Waller yards.
A lot. A lot. A lot of those high-priced ones will end up with Chris Waller, Peter and Paul Snowden, Kieran Maher, David Eustace. Kieran Maher, last time I checked, had bought something like 22 yearlings so far at the sale.
Gee whiz.
We're nearly up to $10 million in spend, and that could have been top by now.
Exactly. Now, Chris, let's get to the race, the big one on Saturday, the Magic Millions. Unbelievable. And I see where Coolangatta, gee whiz, when I first looked at his price, the favourite, $1.65, but he has blown a bit.
Yeah, gone out a bit since the barrier draw on Tuesday morning. He drew 13 before scratchings, so going to have to come across from a wide gate. You see the filly Coolangatta now. Look, she's got out to around $2. You can get around $2. She may continue to drift a little, but look, there's nothing wrong with her form. You cannot fault her at all. But do you want to take $2 about a horse in a race from a wide gate with a lot of pressure? Well, that's up to you. But personally, I'd say probably not for me anyway.
Got a fair jockey on it, though.
Yeah, sure has. J-Mac, he seems to ride every feature winner there is. And, yeah, you gain lengths there with J-Mac and those sort of jockeys on your horses. But he's terrific.
Well, Chris, you've had a couple of winners in the last two times we spoke.
Yeah, been good.
Outside of the Magic Millions two-year-old classic, what's the best bet for you on the program?
Well, it's notoriously a day where you can walk away with zero winners, but we'll give it a crack.
Yeah.
Race 5, number 14, Isotope, resumes from a break. Tony Golan trains. Ryan Maloney will ride. Now, she went around in the Magic Millions three-year-old guineas last year, was a short-priced favourite, and Ryan Maloney clipped heels and fell off at the top of the straight, you may remember.
Hopefully
she can make amends, and I think she probably can. She'll be about $3 or $4. And we'll go with her. Race 5, number 14.
And a quick weather update. Do you copped a lot of rain?
All gone. Magic Millions Day never seems to rain on Magic Millions Day. It's going to be 30 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and a good four track.
Now, Chris, if you don't want to back Coolangatta at say, even money, what would you have a bet on in the Magic Millions?
Well, there's a couple there. The second favourite, Russian Conquest, is around $7. I certainly wouldn't knock it. But the one I like, and he's over $20, is number five, Golden Artie, trained on the track by Brian and Daniel Guy. One win from three starts, but if you have a look at those two defeats, they could have easily been wins. So he could be 3 for 3 going into this. Another one with a bad draw.
He's drawn 17, yeah.
Yeah, he has, but they generally get to the outside and run on in these races, so hopefully he can do that. I'm hoping they go crazy early and set it up for something to run over them late, and hopefully it's him at $20.
Ooh.
And if there's any decent horses left, KG's got a couple of mil in the back pocket, Chris, just to find him something nice.
I'm sure he could probably get 3 or 4 for that and do quite well.
Well, I'm going to have $5 each way on number 14, a horse called Perfect Mission, trained by...
your man, Mellon. You like Mellon.
Michael Costa, ridden by my man, Andrew Mellon. Ran second last...
Last start.
I'll be any old price. Ran second last start. Hit the front of the top of the straight, and I thought, I'm home. Yep. Ran second.
And it coasted up to them. It was last Saturday. It just coasted up. You thought, you got the money here, and unfortunately, the leader kicked on too strongly.
Exactly.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for the update. Have a great weekend,
Good on
mate.
You, Chris.
You too, guys. All the best.
Yeah, Chris Nelson there.
He's
talking
good judge,
an update.
I tell you what, that Golden Artie's interesting. It's drawn 17, but 20 to 1. I might have a little dabble each time.
You throwing out tips? I like it. Just throwing out a couple yourself.
I like it.
I'm not knocking you.
I love racing.
That was the TAB Queensland Summer Racing Carnival. We said has arrived. The Magic Millions been a big week there, and still more to come. And don't forget, what could you do with $5,000? Thanks to My Money House, you could win $5,000 cash. For details of your chance to win, just visit iCanWin.com.au. My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms. KG, that's it for us.
Oh, God.
Back tomorrow night. That's a good thing.
Well, that's nice. But
lots to talk about. Djokovic again. Langer, the players having too much say.
Exactly.
The Crows, they're looking good, the Crows girls.
AFLW, get on them, Will. Yeah. You like a punt. What I saw last week, they played the reigning premiers. And when you've got two girls in the middle, like Anne Hatchett and Ebony Marinoff, getting 50 possessions between them, it's a fair chance you
win. Cage, you're a wonderful judge, you know that.
Now you're being sarcastic.
No, I wasn't. Yes, no, I said that. I looked you in the eye and I said that.
I can see the look in your eye.
Oh, that's harsh.
You're having a crack at your mate.
I may have. I may have. Have a great night tonight. Do it all again tomorrow. See you, Cage.
Bye. Bye now.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.